It's the dictionary.
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 Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary. My name is Spencer. Yes, it is. And your name probably isn't Spencer. I am recording this on February 21st, 7 a.m. It's almost Twin Peaks Day. For my time. Hey, if you could write a review, that would be great. Apple Podcasts, if you are listening to this regularly, I think I deserve a review. I think I've spent enough time in your head that, you know, you must write a review by this point. If you want to talk to me in any way, email is dictionarypod@gmail.com. You can email me a very short theme song that you want to write for this show, and I will put it in this show. And if, you know, I made a mistake, if I asked you a question, I said, give me your thoughts on this thing, go ahead and email me. Follow me on social media at dictionarypod. You can also find my personal at speejampar, S-P-E-J-A-M. P-A-R. You can call the Google Voice number, yes you can, 917-727-5757. Go ahead, leave a message. Hell yeah, I'm going to put it in an episode unless you request no putting in the episode. I feel like that. The Dave and Ethan's 2000 Inch Weird Al podcast, they have a name for their hotline, don't they? Should my Google Voice number have a name? Give me a suggestion for what that name should be called. The Dictionary Hotline? That's pretty lame. You can come up with something better. Yeah, you can. If you want to buy merchandise, go to the T Public link in the show notes. If you want to follow Jonah's music, Tom's music, they're the two that did the theme songs for me. Check out their music. Their information is in the show notes for each time that they're song is on an episode. Yeah, you get it. What else? YouTube. Obviously, you got to watch this on YouTube so you can see the visuals. There's video being recorded of me right now so you can see all this. What else? What are all the other things that I got to say and itch my face? I don't know. I think that's fine. Patreon. Join the Patreon. $1 a month is all I ask. I haven't been able to switch it to limit it just to that one yet, but $1 a month gets you very, very early episodes, so that's worth it, I think. Yeah. All right, the first word in this episode is establishment. I don't even want to spell it. Noun from the 15th century. One, something established. Number one is something established. Anything that's established, like 1A, a settled arrangement, especially a code of laws. A code of laws, just all the laws, they are definitely arranged. They have been settled. Lots of people had to have conversations about the laws. They had to discuss them, arrange them, settle on them, what the wording is, which laws are good, which ones are bad. And then they got established. The code of laws, they are established. They are the establishment. Oh, the establishment. This has a lot of connotations behind it. Let's see. 1B. The synonym is established church, which was in the previous episode. 1C. A permanent civil or military organization. Permanent military organization or civil organization, any organization in the whole world that's permanent is an establishment because it's been established. Well, it was established at the beginning. It was founded. And then over time, especially if it's permanent, air quotes. If it's been around for a while, then it is established. 1D, a place of business or residence with its furnishing and staff. Furnishings, that one's plural. A place of business or residence. So if you are living in a big old building that has staff, maybe it's like a big old high rise in New York and it's got a door people and people who have to clean up and all those things. All that stuff, that's the staff and all the furnishings. Well, I think of more of like a hotel, because that has a lot of furnishings. But, you know, places where you live, they have furnishings as well, but maybe you furnished it yourself. And then a business, just a building with the business and all the people there, that's an establishment. 1E, a public or private institution. So any institution, public or private, it's an establishment. 2, an established order of society. Oh, this is where we're getting into it. An established order of society. This is the way society goes. This is the order. This is the hierarchy. This is the way, after all these years and years and years, this is where society has gotten. This is the establishment. But what's more specifically can we say? 2A. This is often capitalized, and it is a group of social, economic, and political leaders who form a ruling class as of a nation. So you're just talking about one nation. You've got a group of leaders. They could be politicians. They could be economic leaders. So, I don't know, business people, people who study economics. Social leaders, that could be, you know, celebrities, influencers, anybody else who's not in politics or business, I guess. But they're, you know, they're leaders. People look up to them. They have a recognizable face and or name and or logo. And they form the ruling class. They rule everything. Oh, the establishment. A lot of people. The majority of a country is not in the establishment. It's like the whole ants versus grasshoppers thing. Now, the grasshoppers aren't always necessarily bad or evil or taking advantage of the ants, but a lot of them do. They are the establishment. They have been established. A lot of them, this is probably generational establishment. So you go far back enough in time, maybe one of their ancestors became a politician, became famous, known, important for some reason, in some way. And then, not all the time, but a lot of times, all of their descendants get to hold on to that high rank of society. And it's hard for the little people like us to wiggle our way in, to say, no, we have a voice, we have something to say, we would like to be a part of this as well, and maybe make some change for the people where we came from, because you don't know what it's like, you're so detached from that, you establishment. 2B is also often capitalized, and this is a controlling group, as in the literary establishment. Yes, there are people in the book world, the writing world, who just like to control everything, because they've been around a while. They've been writing all the books there. People know them. Okay, 3A, the act of establishing. We need to establish something. So let's do an establishment. Let's eat a mint, establish it into our bellies, make us feel all minty fresh, and then we will be ready to go establishing things. 3B, this is the state of being established. It is the act of establishing, the state of being established. My podcast isn't permanent, it's not done. It could fall apart at any time, but for now it's an establishment. Let's see. My video Bulbous Bouffant has been on YouTube since the early days of YouTube, and there have been a few comments that people are like, oh, this is so OG YouTube, this is from the early days, this is, you know, and I'm like, man, I didn't even think about that. It's for some people, this is like OG YouTube, this video, which is pretty cool. I think that's kind of an establishment. Yeah. My sound effect today is going to be ho-ho. The next word is establishmentarian. Let's count the syllables. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Establishmentarian. You can pronounce it a couple of ways. No, it's just so many letters it just looks like. Establishmentarian, establishmentarian, adjective from 1847. Of relating to or favoring the social or political establishment. This is for the establishment. This is a thing that it's good for the social important people, the political important people. So it's establishmentarian. It's related to them, about them, for them. This is all for you. Establishmentarian is also a noun, and this is the fun one, establishmentarianism. That is a noun. And, of course, I've mentioned this before. I don't think it was in the book. I can't remember. When I was a kid, all the other kids were like, you know, the longest word in the English language is anti-establishmentarianism. And, you know, maybe not technically the longest, but, you know, there's a lot of scientific words that are longer. But this one, this is a pretty normal word that just happens to be very long. So, if you are practicing anti-establishmentarianism, then you are against things for the political, the social establishment. You are one of the ants. You are part of the 99%. You are a normal human being. Ho-ho. Next is estaminé. Estaminé. Now, is that... It looks like those first three syllables, none of them get emphasized more than the others. Estaminé. It is spelled E-S-T-A-M-I-N-E-T. Don't forget about the T. Noun from 1814. This is a small cafe. That's all it is. It's a small cafe. It's French. There's no extra information. It's a 200-year-old word, at least in English. It's just a little cafe. France, Paris especially, I'm sure, is full of these estaminets. And so when if you go to France, you go to Paris, you go to a tiny little cafe, you know, they have maybe like two tables out in front, and you say, I'm just gonna pop into this estaminé for a little bit. I'm gonna have myself an espresso in a tiny, tiny little cup, have a cigarette, and just hang out for 5 hours, and I'm going to read my book. Estaminé. Ho-ho. Next is estancia. Estancia, or is it estancia? I think it's estancia. Yeah. Estancia. Estancia. E-S-T-A-N-C-I-A. Noun from 1704, a South American cattle ranch or stock farm. A cattle ranch or a stock farm is an estancia. And yes, this is a Spanish word, which means stay or room, or it's at least from Spanish. I don't know if it's exactly the same word. Yeah, there's more to the word stance. Like, I'm standing here. This is my stance. My legs are spread. My fists are on my hips. And stay room. Why? I mean, I guess the cattle. It's the cattle's room. They're staying there. They're stuck there. They can't leave. Estancia. Ho ho. Next is estate. First form noun from the 13th century. Number one, the synonyms are state and condition. Like, what condition are you in? What state or condition is your body in? Is it healthy? Is it sick? What about your mind, your brain, your emotions, your spirit? That's a state. I don't know. That's not really one that I don't use a state for that context. I don't. I never do. Number two, social standing or rank, especially of a high order. Very important. If you're part of the estate, your social standing or rank. We don't really have words. I mean, I guess we have a few words. They're not official. It's not like the military that has a whole bunch of those ranks and orders. That, you know, they have a specific order and names and everything. But what about in society? You know, we have celebrity. We have influencer. I'm sure you can't really add politicians in that. Are there other words? I don't know. This is an interesting thought. If you have thoughts on this, what would be... Let's make up a list. Let's make up a list of the order of the names that they would go in order, just for society, just words for people in society. I don't know what those would be. I want to hear your thoughts. Number three for estate is a social or political class, specifically one of the great classes formerly vested with distinct political powers. The examples of these great classes, great, I have to put in air quotes, they're not great, it's not in air quotes here, or written quotes, the nobility, the clergy, and the commons. And this feels very, very British to me. You know, we don't really have the commons. I don't know, it's a different thing in America than it is in, you know, England, Scotland, Wales, Ireland, all those places, the Commonwealth places. Especially because they have so much longer of a history. The great classes, would you call them great? I don't know. Formerly vested with distinct political powers. Yeah, they got political powers. They are, so you call them the estate? Yes, the estate. Social and political class. That's what they are. We've been talking a lot about that today. 4A, the degree, quality, nature, and extent of one's interest in land or other property. There's a lot of things there. The degree of your interest. So like if you own some property, maybe you share it with some people. So your portion would be your estate. The quality of your interest, the nature, the extent of your interest in a property, the extent of your property. That's your estate. That's why we have buildings and land called estates, because it's all about property. I own like a little piece of a building, but I don't think I could call that my estate. I haven't bought a piece of land or a big ol' mansion. Don't think I need so much space. I don't think any of us needs so much space unless we're sharing it with a lot of people. 4B1, synonyms are possessions and property, especially a person's property. Yes, a person's property in land and tenements, as in a man of small estate. He's living in a tiny house. He only has a small amount of things. They fit in his 20-square-foot house. That would be really, really tiny. But yeah, what's your stuff, your possessions, your property? When people are selling a house, maybe they're done, they're going to maybe an old folks' home or something, they're having an estate sale. All the stuff, the house and all the belongings, or most of the belongings, they're getting rid of them. Because that's their estate, that's their stuff. Where's my stuff? 4B2, this is the assets and liabilities left by a person at death. So usually you hear this when you're talking about a celebrity, a famous person, an actor, musician, anything like that. They have an estate. They die at a certain point, but they have created all of this stuff that's just out there in the world. A lot of it keeps on making money. So they have a thing that's sort of created, probably legally, that's their estate. And somebody or a group of people have to run that estate. They have to manage the money that's coming in from their movies, their acting gigs, their albums, whatever it is. And so it's like the stuff that they own still exists after they die. And of course, if they've had kids or have people who they have passed this stuff along to, then that goes to them. Or maybe not. Maybe it's just this like thing and it could like they can do whatever they want with this stuff and money. I don't know. I don't have one of those yet because I haven't died. I'm leaving my podcast to you. Let's see. 4C is a landed property, usually with a large house on it. I've never heard of a property called landed, but I think it just means it's literally on the land, opposed to something floating in the sky. I have property in the sky. You can't nail me down. A landed property, usually with a large house on it. That's what you imagine, you know, like big old pillars. on that estate, and it comes with a lot of meaning, a lot of connotations behind that. Maybe it's on a plantation, not what I like to think of. 4D, this is British, and the synonym is the number 4 definition for the word protect. Protect estate, I'm confused by you, British people. Number 5 is also British. The synonym is station wagon. A station wagon is an estate? Why? Because you can put all your stuff in there, all your property, your possessions? Interesting. Number 6, oh yes, here we go. The synonyms are farm and plantation. And then also, a vineyard. That's another synonym, a vineyard. Yeah, you hear about vineyards being called estates all the time. We're going to go to the estate and have a glass of wine. Okay, there's not much for the etymology, so we have to go. Ha-ha. The second form of estate is an adjective from 1978. Estate is from 1978. Previously owned by another and usually of high quality, as in estate jewelry. You are describing this thing as coming from somebody else's estate. That's what it is. It was somebody else's possession, and now it is your possession. So now it can be part of your estate, and you can sell it off, give it off to whoever you want when you have the long nap. Estate jewelry. I probably had heard that, but it was like, what? Why? What does that mean? Now I know. Ho ho. Estate agent. 2 words. Noun from 1856. This is British, and it is a real estate broker or manager, because they have to do all of the legal things that we regular people don't know how to do. They got to do that stuff for your estate, for your real estate. Why do we call it real estate? It's not like there's fake estate. It's real. Realtors. What's the real? What's the real meaning in real estate agent, real estate, your estate that's real? You own it because it's real, but you don't because you've got a mortgage probably. Ooh, I never thought about that. Okay, why is that British? A real estate broker or manager is an estate agent. Do we not have a estate agent in the States, in these estates? Ha-ha. Estate bottled. 2 words with a hyphen. Adjective from 1940. This is talking about a wine. That was my guess, but I wasn't sure. It makes sense, though. This is entirely produced and bottled by a single winery. Entirely produced and bottled. So this one, a lot of times, wineries, they will buy the grapes from other places, other vineyards. They won't grow the grapes on their property, on their estate. So they get it from somewhere else. But it sounds like estate bottled means they've grown it on this estate. They've processed it. They've put it into those big barrels. They've smushed it beforehand. And they do all the creation at the estate, at that location. So it's estate bottled. A lot of people are probably kind of picky about that. I only drink estate bottled wine. And I go, ha-ha. Estate car. 2 words. Noun from 1948. British again, and the synonym is station wagon. Estate car. Yeah, I guess all the station wagons in the Britain land are estate cars. Just because you put all your estate in there. Ha ha. Estate tax. 2 words. Noun from 1928. A tax in the form, we just have one definition, a tax in the form of a percentage of the taxable estate that is imposed on a property owner's right to transfer the property. Oh boy, I need to read this again. Too many words to say it all correct. A tax in the form of a percentage of the taxable estate that is imposed on a property owner's right to transfer the property to others after his or her death. And they could just say after their death. Compare to the number one definition for inheritance tax. So I need to, I'm sure it's not complicated, but there were so many words I wasn't able to pay attention while I was reading. Tax in the form of a percentage of the taxable estate. So you got the estate, and part of it is taxable. Some portion of it is taxable. You have to pay taxes on it when it's sold, I guess, to the government. And it's a portion of that taxable estate that is imposed on a property owner's right to transfer the property to others. So if you want to give the property and all your stuff to somebody else when you die, you have to pay an estate tax, which I guess is on top of maybe the other tax, whatever else is already taxable. I don't know. You're like, I guess because maybe you're not making money, if you're just giving it to somebody, you have to pay a tax. You're like, well, the government is like, we need some money for the transfer of ownership of this thing. So we're going to create this thing called estate tax, because we would get taxes if you sold it, I guess, maybe. But where you're not selling it, you're just giving it away. So you need to give us something. Just give us some money. 1%? I don't know what the percentage is. It's probably different by state. Inheritance tax, I guess, is if you inherit, if somebody's giving you money or something, then maybe are you the one who has to pay this tax? They're taxing us all over the place. And overall, I think it's a pretty good idea so they can pay for things, you know, like roads and hospitals and police and teachers. Teachers, that's a big one. Overall. But the problem with the taxes is that there's a lot of people who make a ton of money, the establishment, and they're not paying the same percentage as the rest of us are. And if they did, then we would have a better situation, I think. Okay. Ha-ha. Next is esteem. E-S-T-E-E-M. I'm just going to go take a quick esteem in the esteem room. This is the first form, noun from the 14th century. Number one is archaic, and the synonyms are worth and value. Ooh, it's interesting when you think about what we think of as esteem, self-esteem now. It used to be worth and value. Can you even put a worth or a value on anything? A human? Number two is also archaic, and the synonyms are opinion and judgment. Oh, well, you are making an opinion and a judgment when you put a worth or a value on somebody. Number three, the regard in which one is held, especially high regard. So I guess you don't usually call it esteem when you have somebody in low regard. When you look down on them, when you don't have good thoughts about them, you have them in low esteem. Is that a phrase we say? We have an example. The esteem we all feel for her. High regard. We feel very strongly about her. She's important. We put her on a pedestal. Why is she important? I don't know. That's just what the book said. I don't know what the book feels. All the people who wrote the book, they have high esteem for her. She's very important to them. She's probably very nice and loving and gives them a $5 check on their birthday. The regard in which one is held. Yeah, this is how we feel about somebody, something. Ha-ha! The second form of esteem is a transitive verb from the 15th century. Number one is archaic. The synonym is appraise. Like you are praising? I don't know. Number 2A, to view as. To view as. The synonym is consider. Consider this. Consider this example. Esteem it a privilege. Esteem it a privilege. This feels kind of like an old way to speak. Esteem it a privilege. Consider it a privilege that you get to watch my podcast. To view as. Yeah, it's a weird, for my brain, it's a weird way to use this word. 2B, the synonyms are think and believe. Think, believe. I esteem that this is the best podcast ever. Number three, to set a high value on. And then also regard highly and prize accordingly. Regard highly and prize accordingly. Or just to prize? Yes. As in an esteemed guest. You have a very high value on this person. They are an esteemed guest. You hold them in high regard, probably. Every time I have a guest on this show, they are an esteemed guest. I should say that. But yes, I'm excited. They wouldn't be here if I didn't probably think of them as an esteemed guest. They are important for some reason. A synonym is the word regard. Regard, I don't know. This is from the Middle English estimen, which means to estimate. So maybe you're like estimating the value. You are appraising it. It has a value. That's pretty much it for esteem. Let's say one more. It's only on this page. It's so interesting how well the dictionary has planned out that so many of these words end at the bottom of a column. There's two columns. At the bottom of a column, almost all the time, the definition ends there. And it's just so perfectly laid out. They did a good job. The last word. Ha, ha, ha. Esther. E-S-T-E-R. Noun from circa 1852. This is any of a class of often fragrant organic compounds that can be represented by the formula R-C-O-O-R. And those are all caps, and there's an apostrophe-looking thing at the end, R-C-O-O-R, and that are usually formed by the reaction between an acid and an alcohol with elimination of water. Of course, I don't know. I mean, I've heard of ester. She's doing great. Class fragrant organic compounds. It's usually formed by the reaction between. So you combine an acid and an alcohol and get rid of the water, and then you have an ester. It's probably very strong. Yeah, it says fragrant. Why are we calling this ester? It is from the. It's German. So I guess it is a German word from. Essigather, which is ethyl acetate, from Essig, E-S-S-I-G, which means vinegar, plus ather, which means ether. So ether plus vinegar becomes ethyl acetate, and then we just call it ester here in America because those German words are too complicated for us. R-C-O-O-R, I don't at all understand what that means. Let's look at this. Carboxylic acid esters formula R-C-O-O-R. The R and the R apostrophe are any, maybe they call that prime, I don't know, are any organic combining groups commonly prepared by reaction, blah, blah, blah. What is R-C? So is this literally? What's the R? What's the R? Just one second. R periodic table. What is the R? Is there one that's just R? Rubium. Wait. No, that's RB, RU, RH, RE, RN, RA. None that are just R. That's strange. So what is this? What does this mean? I don't understand any of this. Ah, well. It's an ester. That is it. I need to pick a word of the episode. We had establishment, establishmentarian, estamine, estancia, estate, estate agent, estate bottled, estate car, estate tax, esteem, and ester. Well, I hold you all in high esteem. But I don't think I want to pick a state. I don't think I want to pick establishment, establishmentarianism, any of those. Let's just pick estamine. I need an espresso. I'm gonna sit in this estaminet and drink my espresso. Yeah. That's great. Hey, guess what? I don't have a movie to tell you about because I haven't been watching many because we have been binging the 3 seasons of Twin Peaks, getting ready for real Twin Peaks Day in the Pacific Northwest, which is this weekend for us. I'm only going for a day and a half because I got to deal with my cat, but my wife is going for many more days. I'm very happy for her. She gets to enjoy all the nature and everything. But I'm just a quick in and out. So I can't wait to see my Twin Peaks people out there. And we have one more episode to watch tonight. We finished episode 17 of Twin Peaks The Return, which is also kind of called the third season, and that was from 2017. And I mean, if you haven't seen Twin Peaks, you know what? Go ahead and email me, dictionarypod@gmail.com. Let's have a little chat. Because I think you should watch it. At the very least, you should watch the pilot and see if it intrigues you enough. Because then you might be intrigued enough to watch the rest. Let's spread Twin Peaks like a disease. Hey, that's it. That's the end of this episode. Thank you very much for checking out my podcast and possibly watching it on YouTube. Watch this show. And until next time, this is Spencer dispensing information. Goodbye.